You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for May 10th, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, cracking my knees. Okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures, stay warm. Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. This is the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt, and to my left is Jeff.
Hello, everybody.
And we thought we were going to have John this week. His birthday was yesterday, but guy ran off with a girl. Or that's what he tells us, at
right,
least.
Yeah, as far as we know. Yeah. Either way, we know the boys' priorities are out of whack.
Right. He should be here. Cinemaniacs, priority one.
That's right.
We know it is to us.
Exactly. We could be out chasing tail, but no, we're here for you because we love you. Anyway.
Anyway, this week on the Cinemaniacs, you saw The Namesake. You're going to be reviewing for us.
Yes.
And we're also going to be reviewing The Savages.
Yes, we will.
Which was a movie that was nominated for several Academy Awards this past year.
Yes, it was.
And first, we have a little bit of news in the DVD front. Actually, Blu-ray.
Do tell.
Well, Disney's finally going to start releasing their animated classics on Blu-ray, starting in October with Sleeping Beauty. So that's exciting for, you know, to see those movies as brilliantly remastered as they can be.
Sure.
And more importantly, Sleeping Beauty is one of the movies that's going to have that BD Live, they call it, I think, Blu-ray Live, which right now the only Blu-ray player that has it is the PS3. But what that's going to do, just as an example, is the menu, how it has the Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Sure.
It's going to change to whatever weather is where you're at. It's going to connect to the internet. And if it's raining outside, it'll be raining at the castle. Sunny day, it'll be sunny day on the castle.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, it's not a make or break deal,
right,
but it just shows you the technology is
what's
going to be coming out.
Wow. Now, that is impressive.
Yeah. So, that's going to hold. That should be why people, if they're going to buy a Blu-ray player today, my opinion, either get a PS3 or wait until other ones come out. You know, surely by the end of the year, there'll be more players out that have that Live built into it.
Yeah.
Maybe at a better price. I don't know. But, you know.
Wow, that technology is so new, you'd think that would already be kind of integrated in there.
No.
Wow.
So, anyways, the Disney movies are coming out like that.
Very good. What else is coming out on Blu-ray? You just told me something really cool was coming out on Blu-ray. What was that?
Oh, Patton.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen Patton.
Oh, dude, you're missing out.
And there's several classic movies that I just, for whatever reason, haven't gotten to see. I mean, I have in the other room right now to watch Bonnie and Clyde.
Right.
And The Dirty Dozen. Yeah. Now, we've reviewed several older movies on Blu-ray, as, for example, Bullet or Enter the Dragon. Was it Enter the Dragon?
Yeah, it was Enter the Dragon, yeah. Bruce Lee.
And they do look great. I mean, they're older movies, so
yeah.
But it definitely looks better than you would on videotape or DVD by any
Absolutely.
Means. And so they clean it up and put it out there. And so now here's Patton, which is just classic.
Yeah.
And if you go to our website, thecinemaniacs.com, you'll see a picture of the cover, and it really does look... The picture of it looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, so. that's going to be very cool to watch again. I mean, I've seen it a dozen times in my life, and it's one of those movies I never get tired of.
Good.
Ever.
I'm looking forward to it.
So,
George
yeah,
C. Scott.
Yeah, don't see it until I can see it with you, because it's great. You will have a blast.
Well, you just watched a movie without me, The Namesake.
Well, yeah.
Is that something you should have waited for me to see with?
Probably, yeah. It was really good. I really enjoyed this movie.
I've heard great things about it.
Yeah. This is a movie by Bollywood director... I'm going to mess up every name here, so forgive me. Myra Nair, who's done movies like Monsoon Wedding and Kama Sutra, very prominent Bollywood director.
Well, those are not Bollywood movies, though.
But no, those are just movies that people here might have heard of, but he is also a very prominent Bollywood director. Right.
I watched Monsoon Wedding, and it was pretty good. Wasn't fantastically great.
Right.
It's like Indian, that is Middle East India.
Yeah.
And this is My Big Fat Indian Wedding.
Right. And this is not too different. This is, you know, it's a Hollywood movie and everything like that. It's not a Bollywood movie. You know, big portion of the story takes place in America and everything like that. But you really get this feel for these people and their culture and how they try and maintain that culture, even living in America and, you know, raising children who are pretty much essentially becoming Americans. I mean, the story focuses around... Ashoki and Ashima, which are played by Irfan Khan and Tabu, who I, from what I hear, are very respected Bollywood Bollywood actors. Hmm. And they play this couple who come together in an arranged marriage, and because he has work in America, he's an engineer. They move there, and it's really about their, you know, they're coming together really as a family. Everything starts kind of uneasy. You know, there's a, you know, it's, they're practically strangers, you know, and she
comes, of the arranged marriage thing.
Exactly. And they, you know, the, one of the first times they meet is when they're actually making the arrangements, you know, and then a few days later, she's leaving her entire family and flying to America, you know, so it starts off with these two strangers really kind of getting to know each other, and she's kind of, he's been in America for a little while, so he knows a few things, and there are just these really cute moments where he's acclimating her to things in America. You know, one of the cutest lines is, you know, they have power. I mean, they have gas 24 hours a day, you know, which she finds just, you know, she finds that really interesting, you know, she's kind of shocked by that. And it's just these little things and them coming together as a couple, and they do eventually become this really great couple, and they start raising their family. And their first child is a son. And another interesting little thing is that when children are born in India, they don't usually name them right away. They wait for a respected senior member of the family to give them a name, a good name, their permanent name.
Hmm.
And in America, you can't take your kid out of a hospital until you name it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So basically he ends up naming his first son this temporary name of Gogol, which is the last name of one of his favorite authors, a Russian author. Hmm. And they never hear from the great-grandmother, so the name sticks. And there's another part of the story where the son grows up and is eventually played by Kalpan, which we know from Harold and Kumar, and National Lampoon's Van Wilder.
Oh, Taj.
Taj, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I've seen him in other things. I've seen him in a few episodes of 24 and things like that, and he's really, really good. And he's as American as can be, you know, and so he kind of deals with his name and you know, he has to kind of deal with his name. He has issues with his name or whatever, but he does eventually.
He has issues with the name Gogol?
Yes. Yes. Because apparently Gogol was a fairly tormented person in life. And so he just, you know, it kind of really gets to him. And he eventually finds out the real reason that he's named, why he's named and why his father chose that name for him. And I'm not going to get into it because, you know, it's a really, really interesting study of an Indian family in America trying to maintain their identities while still trying to adapt to life in America. And everybody grows up and grows apart and grows back together. Wonderfully played performances all around, you know. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the number one reason why I would see this movie is because of Cal Penn. Is he a major part of it?
Yes. Oh, yes. He becomes a very major part of it. And that's why I didn't want to say too much more. I'm setting everything up about it. But, you know, he becomes...
Well, what you said, that, I mean, the name of the movie is The Namesake. Exactly. And then you talked about his, supposed to be, the baby's waiting for the great-grandmother to come to give him the name.
Right.
I mean, but it's no secret that he's in the movie because it's very prominently displayed in the poster.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. But, and he's by no means the best player in there. I mean, he's good. But this couple, you know, Irfan Khan and Tabu, two really, really wonderful performances. People that just start off, you know, as strangers and then just become this amazing, loving couple. And you really, really like these characters. And, you know, when they have highs, you really feel it. And when there are lows, you really feel it. You know, it's a great movie. I recommend it wholeheartedly.
And star-wise?
Five stars. Easy five stars.
I've been wanting to see that for so long.
Easy five stars. I mean, Kite Runner good, okay?
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're just comparing that because Kite Runner was Afghanistan and
it's just Middle Eastern. It's another, you know, it shows us a foreign country culture, but it's made in America, so it's maybe technically not a foreign film, but it's definitely got a foreign feel to it. And it just exposes you to life other than we know it. And, you know, shows you the beauty of other cultures, you know. It broadens your horizons. It broadened mine, and I'm always grateful for that.
It's in English?
It's in English. Sometimes they speak in I'm going to say Indian, which is awful, you know.
Hindi or Bengali.
Hindi or, yeah, thank you. Actually, Bengali. Bengali is a big thing. One of the themes with Gogol is should he be with his girlfriend or go find a nice Bengali girl, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those smaller, you know, smaller sub themes. But and sometimes there are subtitles. It's mostly in English, though, almost entirely. But overall, just a wonderful movie. And yes, go out, see it, rent it as soon as possible.
All right. Sounds very good. Well, then we watch, well, you watch that on your own, but mm-hmm. we watched together The Savages.
Yes, we did. Which got me way back deep into the Philip Seymour Hoffman camp after Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Right. That's what last week's show. But The Savages, Philip Seymour Hoffman stars in it, along with Laura Linney.
Yes.
And
oh,
Laura Linney. Of them were nominated for Oscars for it. Isn't that correct?
No. Philip was nominated for Charlie Wilson's War.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Best Supporting Actor.
Well, she was.
Yeah.
And Tamara Jenkins is the director.
Mm-hmm.
And she also wrote it. She got nominated for Best Screenplay for that.
That's great.
Original screenplay to boot. She also wrote that Slums of Beverly Hills.
That was a cute
10
movie.
Years ago.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
That was where the girl was like curly haired and she was kind of.
That was.
Natasha Lyonne.
Natasha Lyonne, yeah. That's the movie that kind of really broke Natasha Lyonne, brought her to the forefront. Everybody praised her performance in this movie.
Right. So this Tamara Jenkins, she also directed that Slums of Beverly Hills. But here we are with The Savages.
Well, I described the last one. Okay. Donald, you get to do this one.
Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman, brother and sister, live in two different parts of the country.
East Coast,
though.
Right.
And their dad has got Alzheimer's, and he's losing it.
Yeah.
His wife.
Girlfriend
that he's been living with for 10 years plus,
mm-hmm.
dies. And the girlfriend's family is like, okay, well, now you got to go.
We're selling the house. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah,
they've been basically kicking him out.
Yeah, they'd been together over 20 years, and the children are thinking that there might be some kind of common law marriage happening. But I guess when they moved in together, the father signed some kind of a informal prenup saying he would have no attachment to any of her possessions. So basically, she dies, and they're stuck with him.
Right.
You know, and they're not exactly close.
Girlfriend dies, and Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman are stuck with them. No, they're not close.
They're not close to their father at all.
Right.
Apparently there was, you know,
Troubled childhood
abuse. And it's basically...
Not that they get into that too much. Or
no, anything. They really don't. They really don't dive into that at
all. She could tell they're not close. And it's even stretched because he's not with it. He doesn't really remember a whole lot. Doesn't have all his faculties, yeah. so to speak. And so they try to find him a old folks home to stay at. Their last name is Savage. That's where the name comes in, the Savages.
Right.
And, you know, who's going to pay for it, which one they're going to go to, and they kind of argue a little bit on which one.
Well, they're just having to deal with it, you know. He finds a place. He has to find one really quickly, and, you know, she's kind of dealing with, you know. They fly out to Arizona, and they find this whole situation. So immediately he flies back to try and find a place kind of close to him, and she's left kind of dealing with the father end of it, you know. So she's really dealing with the human end of it while he's kind of dealing with the business end of it, you know, the financial end of it. And that's where sometimes there's friction between right. them about how to deal with their dad. Which, right. you know, and it's impressive to me. I mean, these characters become very likable because they both, in their way, do care about their dad who... You know, when you think about it, they don't really have a whole lot of reason to, you know?
Right.
Yeah, they...
Because they're not close to him and whatever happened when they were younger. I think it's more mental abuse, that I guess, when they were younger.
Nothing, who knows? You know, like I said, we don't know.
It's just their estrangement.
The estrangement from him.
Yeah.
But yet, in this, you know, his last waning hours of life, as it were, not literally hours, you know what I mean. The last right. hours of the day, they're trying to be there for him.
Right. And Hoffman and Linney, their relationship, though, even though they're not really, really close, they're brother and sister, and they'll do anything for each other.
Well, this really brings them together. In dealing with this, they move in together for a little while, and they start to reconnect a little bit, which is, and those are some nice scenes when they're doing that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, and I got to say, bravo to Laura Linney on sporting the brunette hair. I always see her as a blonde. Was she not looking just right as a brunette?
She always looks great.
She does, and wow.
It's helped by the fact that she often takes her clothes off, let's be honest. But here she didn't. But with the brunetteness,
oh,
it was
man.
Nice.
Yeah, the brunette dude was working it. It was beautiful. I was loving it. And once again, she got nominated, and she so should have been. She's, you know, she's tortured. She's feeling guilty about putting him in this home, and it's, you know, and she wants to find a better home. And it's just all these crazy, you know, these guilt, these things that people deal with when having to deal with some, you know, the loved one in that situation. You know, no decision is ever going to be right. You're never going to feel 100% good about it. And
in that respect, there's a lot of realism in the movie and how they're acting.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, her character really was whiny crybaby. And I can say, you could tell me that's because of the stress.
Sure.
But, she's getting annoying so many times.
Yeah, but that's the character. The character's supposed to be that way, you know? And that's why it's such a good performance.
Like I said, you could tell me that, and I'm not going to argue with you.
And you know, it doesn't make her unlikable. It just makes her whiny.
Yeah, but then she's taking all the drugs of uppers and downers of depressants and antidepressants or whatever. I got over it already. And then right at the beginning, you see that she's sleeping with this married guy.
Yeah.
He's never going to leave his wife. And, right. And she could care less about it. I don't even really know why. I mean, it's like these females, and I'm sure there's guys out there too, that just are with somebody just so they can have somebody to talk to.
Sure.
And that was an annoying relationship also.
Oh, thank God it wasn't featured terribly prominently.
Right.
And then eventually she did realize that there wasn't anything in it she wants, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know. But is it, you know, overall just really great performances.
It is great performances.
Yeah. Even the fellow that played the dad, I mean, you know.
Philip Bosco.
Very, you know, very impressive. I've seen him in things.
He was in Hitch. We were talking about Hitch earlier. Somebody had sent me a note, you know, that Netflix Friends thing?
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a note about Hitch. They only gave it 3 stars. I liked it quite a bit, but
I'd have given it 3 stars. I think I probably gave it 3 stars.
I liked it.
I might have given it more when I saw it, but I just can't really remember any of it. So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
Philip Bosco is character actor. He's been in a lot of things besides Hitch. Kate Leopold, Shaft, the new version, Wonder Boys, Freedom Land. I mean, several episodes of Law and Order.
All right, so he's been a busy boy.
Little character actor guy.
Right on.
And he was good in that. He played the part well.
Yeah, yeah.
Lisa almost wanted to buy a lava lamp after watching that scene in the Oval.
That's great. That's great.
I don't know if the kids have ever seen it. My kids have ever seen them. Lava lamps.
I think I had a lava lamp a long time ago. But, yeah, good performances. I gave it 4 stars.
Just 3 for me.
Yeah. Just too much, too whiny?
She was whiny, and the story, you know, it didn't draw me in and attach with me in any way. And that's saying something, seeing as my grandmother passed away, last month or something, and I wasn't with it.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, like, this movie should affect me some way,
and it didn't.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
The performances were great, and why I liked it, but didn't really like it. So,
well, there you go. That's why you gave it 3 as opposed to 4.
Right.
Well, I really liked it. I didn't love it, but I really liked it. So there you go. 4 stars.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't help that I fell asleep watching the ending 3 times.
3 times. I rewound the ending 3 times for him. What? He left the guy? What? What? Oh, God.
Yeah.
He still had to watch it the next day.
So that was The Savages.
Yeah.
And I guess that wraps it up for this week.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at podcast@thecinemaniacs.com.
There you go.
Or go to the website, thecinemaniacs.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Also, go to Podcast Alley and vote for us. And that helps us get better rankings, more listeners. We make a better show for you.
In theory. I don't know if this show's ever going to get better. This could be it. This could be our high pinnacle, you know, peak here. But
at least we saw the low pinnacle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it won't get any worse.
Yeah, that's right. Go back a few episodes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then you all have a good night.
Everybody take care. Say, walk your space now.